You're listening to the weekly teaching podcast of Willamette Christian Church in Westland, Oregon. We hope that what you hear today inspires you to laugh, question, think, and grow. If you'd like to connect with us even further, hit us up online at willamette.cc or shoot us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
To talk to you today as we are in week 3 of our It's a New Day series. And I'm so happy that you're joining us in this series because, oh my word, sometimes we just need to be encouraged and challenged to find the hope that is found in a new day, right? And the last couple of weeks, Pastor Brian has shared some of his favorite new things. And so I thought that I would share with you some of my favorite new things since I get the opportunity to be here with you today. And so one of my favoritest new things, or rather the most fresh things, is a fresh cup of coffee. Oh my word, I love that first cup of coffee moment, you know, with like the foam and the whipped cream, and it's a little chilly in the morning, and you're wrapping your hands around it, and it's so warm, and then the foam just hits your lips, and it's just so good. It's like so good that sometimes I will start drinking my first cup of coffee in the morning, and I will get like halfway through, and I'll be like, do I get a new cup? Do I start over? Do I start fresh so I can have that whipped cream again? But I don't waste. I finish it, and then sometimes I make another one because I love that experience so much. The other thing that I love is, even though, you know, it is very cold in the morning, and by the afternoon right now, it is like sweating. I don't know about you. I'm like practicing the layering, so you'd like shed the layers by the afternoon. But we are about to be in sweater season, and I love the feeling of a new sweater, like a brand new sweater. It's so soft. And it's so cozy and warm. It's like you get to wear a blanket outside of your house. It's so good. And it's not doing that like annoying pilling thing that like old sweaters do. But oh my goodness, sometimes we just need to experience the hope found in a new day. And you know, a primary theme in scripture is that we serve a God who is committed to making all things new. And it's a newness that, you know, it far surpasses that feeling of a fresh cup of coffee or a brand new sweater. God, he's committed to redeem. He is committed to restore. He is committed to renew the broken places in our lives, the places we are, where we're hurt, where we're damaged, where we're broken. And God is always on the move. He is always about the work of restoration. And that's what we've been talking about over these last couple of weeks. In week 1, we talked about how we are believing again. And then last week, we talked about how we're laughing again. And today, I want to talk to us about praying again, to encourage us to begin to pray again. And I love that scripture talks about how God is one who restores and how God is one who renews. And I'm wondering, as you kind of sit here this morning, I want to invite you to just kind of have a moment of reflection, to think about your life. Think about your friendships. Think about your workplace. Think about your family. Think about the community that you're in, the city you live in. Now think about our world. And I ask you to consider this question. Where is it specifically, as you think about all of those areas, that you need Jesus to do a renewing work in? Where is your heart feeling heavy today? Where do you need to see God do the miraculous? Where do you need to see God work and move and restore? And as you're thinking about those things, are you thinking, gosh, I don't know. Things have just been so bad for so long. I don't know if the situation that I'm thinking about, I don't know if it can be restored. It kind of seems beyond repair in a way. And I wonder, or I bet, that those feelings of wondering if something was beyond repair is how the people of God felt before Psalms 126. See, Psalms 126 is our kind of key passage for this series, and it's a poem of prayer, and it's a poem of praise of the good things that God has been doing. And God is doing something new. After generations of people being in exile, God is finally working to restore them and to renew them into this new place. And Psalms 126 is the people's response to God's restorative work in the world. So let's read it. It says this: "When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter. We sang for joy. And the other nations said, 'What amazing things the Lord has done for them.' Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy! Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return from the harvest." This psalm, it reflects the emotions of a people who are returned from captivity. They have been exiled in Babylon for 70 plus years. That's generations of people living displaced, living away from home. And I wonder if after 70 years, somewhere in there, you had a generation of people thinking, is it really going to come true? Is God really going to restore us? They're hearing these stories from their grandparents saying God is going to do a great thing, and they're wondering, maybe my grandparents are just a little bit misguided because I don't know if it's going to happen. Did the hope for a God who would restore and repair and renew feel so far off that it just seemed like a fairy tale? Well, I think it kind of did because it did almost seem to be good to be true, because in the first three verses, it says that it felt like a dream. Yet God was renewing. God was restoring. They were believing again. They were laughing again. They were singing again. They were being renewed. But the practical outworking of that renewal was going to require some work. It raised a challenge, because while God was working and God was renewing and God was restoring, they were going to have to get involved in that restoration. And they knew that it was going to take some divine intervention, that God was bringing them back to this land, but there was still work to do. So not only do they believe again, not only do they laugh again, but they begin to pray again. And that's what we get to talk about today. Their belief and their laughter and what they see God doing has them in this place where they see what God has been doing. They see the work that it's in front of them, and they see that they want God to continue to work. They want God to continue to move, but they recognize that this type of renewal, this type of restoration, of rebuilding their community back up to what it was, it wouldn't take just the determination of their own will to do that. It would take the power of God working in and through them. It would take their active participation in the things of God, because prayer is essential to the process of rebuilding and restoring things. So what is prayer? What do you think prayer is? What are kind of your presuppositions about prayer? Maybe you think prayer is just like that awkward time when you're holding hands with strangers, or you're holding hands with friends and it's weird because their hands are all like sweaty and gross. Maybe you just pray to like bless the food, right? Maybe you are the person that prays those like Hail Mary types of prayers. The like, God, if you are real and you are here, would you do this for me kind of prayers. Maybe you pray like God is like this wise counsel. So whenever you have to make a big decision, you go to God as like this trusted mentor who's going to give you some wisdom. Maybe you're afraid to pray out loud because you feel like, oh goodness, if I pray out loud, I have to pray in like that old English or like King James, and I have to be like with the these and the thous and oh holiest of lords and thine heavens above, and it has to be like all fanciful. So you're like, no, I'm good. I don't want to pray out loud. That's fine for me. Maybe you feel like God is like this genie, right? He's there to grant your wishes. And so you're careful with what you pray for because you can only get so many wishes granted. Or maybe you've been a part of like a group prayer or a prayer circle situation. And someone's like, hey, who wants to pray? And nobody says anything. And they pause for a second. And they're like, I know. Let's do popcorn prayer. You guys, popcorn prayer. It is my least favorite type of group prayer, okay? This is how popcorn prayer works. You have someone designated to open the prayer, then you have someone designated to close the prayer, and then people just like pop in between, and then there's no rhyme or reason. It's just a free-for-all. It's like the Wild West of prayer circles. You don't know who's gonna go next. You don't know what's gonna happen. And so you're sitting there, and so they start the prayer, and then you're like, okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna say something. And you're like, not sure when you should jump in. So you're like, not even listening to the other prayers. Okay? Because you're like, am I gonna go? Should I go? Should I not go? Are we going in a circle? Oh no, we're really popping this thing around. Okay. So you're like, I'm gonna go. So you throw out a dear God. And at the same time, as luck would have it, somebody else starts praying at the same time as you. Everything's disrupted. You open your eyes. You're like, no, you go. And it's a whole thing. Okay, I see I'm not the only one who struggles with this popcorn prayer situation. But in reality, what is prayer? Prayer is simply this. It's a word that describes a relationship. It's, you know, it's a way for us to keep company with Jesus. It's a means of communication and a way of intimacy with God. Because we all know that we can't have a relationship with someone without communication. Come on. We can't really know someone's perspective or their outlook on the world or on life if we haven't had a meaningful conversation with them. We can't understand the things that hurt them, the things they care about, the things that bring them joy if we don't communicate with them, and vice versa. And so it is with God. While we have a lot of ways of knowing who God is through scripture and through studying together with others and through things like nature, we go from knowing things about God to actually having a relationship with God in prayer. Sometimes prayer, it looks like asking and requesting. Sometimes prayer, it looks like praising and worshiping. Sometimes prayer looks like sitting and listening and just pausing. Prayer takes on a lot of different forms, but they're all kind of reaching us toward the same ends, which is to have a relationship with God. And a relationship that doesn't just have us knowing things about God, but a relationship where God invites us to be active participants in the restorative work that he is doing in the world. Do you remember our passage of Psalms 126? In it, the people of God recognized that even though God had done amazing things in the past, that they were going to have to play an active role in participating in what God was doing right now. They had some work ahead. And so what did they do? They prayed. They prayed a prayer of praise and of request, asking, God, would you continue to move? God, would you continue to work? Knowing that they would play an active role and participate in the work that God was doing to build up their community. They prayed asking God to move, knowing that God would play an active role in that movement. And they prayed knowing that they would need the power of God to sustain them in the work that was in front of them. And so that's why they prayed, but why do we pray? I want to talk to us about three reasons today why we need to begin praying again, or for some of us, why we need to just start praying for the first time. In the midst of God working and moving, in the midst of both joy and suffering, in the midst of great renewal and great injustice in our world, we need to be followers of Jesus who are praying and who are praying again. So first, we pray again to remind ourselves of who God is, to remind ourselves of who God is. We pray again to take a moment to shift our eyes on to God, even when we've been hurt, even when the season is rocky, even when it feels like, goodness, this is beyond repair. When we engage in praying again, we remind ourselves of who we are praying to. We remind ourselves of the nature and the character of God. This is what the people of God were doing in Psalms 126. Let's read verses 3-6. It says, "Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What a joy." They are remembering what God has done. And then in verse 4, they begin to pray a prayer of request. They say, "Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return from the harvest." They were reminding themselves of who God is, of what God has done, that God is the one who restores those who are tired, who restores those who are weary, and restores them to joy. That's what they were reminding themselves of. And I have to say today, God is still one who restores those who are weary, who restores those who are tired and ready to give up. But not only that, God is a God who is close. God is a God who wants to get involved, who wants to have a relationship with us. Maybe you're somebody who's never prayed, or maybe you're feeling like, gosh, I don't even know how to pray. The cool thing is that in the Bible, there's this story of Jesus and his friends ask him how to pray. They ask Jesus. And so in the Bible, we actually have straight from the mouth of Jesus himself, the answer to these wonderings of how to pray and what to pray and why we pray. And Jesus's prayer, it gives us a glimpse into who God is. And I want us to look at Luke 11, verses 2-4, and it's what's become known as the Lord's Prayer. It says this: Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Jesus starts out the prayer with the phrase, "Father, may your name be kept holy." The word here used for God is Father. In the Greek, it's Abba, meaning dad. This is not always the way that people would address God. People might address God as someone who was just kind of far off, who was out there, who was distant, who was unrelatable. Or maybe people thought of God as one who kind of created all of the earth and then spun it off and is just watching as it spins off and off and off and like way off. And maybe that's what you think about God. But what this prayer says and what it has to teach us is that Abba implies a close relationship, one between a parent and a child. And I knew about this word for God, but it didn't really like settle with me until this last summer. It became most real to me on a trip that Austin, my husband, and I took back to California to visit some family. They had just had a new baby, and so we were hanging out with them, and we were hanging out with their kids, and they have this amazing four-year-old. She is so stinking cute, and she is bilingual in both English and Hebrew, and she's super creative. And so we're all sitting in the living room, and she's doing these like great watercolors, and she's painting, and she's all happy. And then she would finish her painting and just full of pride, right? She would hold it up to us, and then she would hold it up to her dad with these like knowing eyes. And she would say, "Abba, Abba, look." And he would look at the painting, and he would look at his daughter, and he would marvel at it, and he would marvel at her. And it was just so beautiful. It was this intimate and close relationship that they have between a father and a daughter. And that's what God wants for us. That's That's what God desires for us, that we would come to him in prayer, that we would be reminded not only of his heart to restore a broken world, not only of his heart to restore our broken lives, but we would be reminded that he is not far off, but that he is close, that he is near, that he wants to get involved in our lives. He has a desire to relate to us in a deep and intimate and meaningful way. And so we pray again. We pray again to be reminded of God's heart to restore all things and God's heart to be near and connected to us and to our world and to our communities, to be involved. And so the first reason we pray again is we pray again to be reminded of who God is. And the second reason we pray again, it's going to be here on the screens, is we pray again so that we can be aligned with the heart of God. So that we can be aligned with the heart of God. So that when we pray, we are praying towards the things of God. We are praying towards God's heart. Remember the Lord's Prayer that we read in the Gospel of Luke. Well, it's also found in the Gospel of Matthew, and it uses a little bit of different words. I want us to read it. It's found in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, and it says this. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Notice here that it says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In prayer, we are called to seek out God's kingdom, not just build our own. Or rather, in the context of prayer, we are shaped by Jesus and we are shaped by his kingdom desires. Our hearts begin to align with the heart of God. And we read scripture and we connect in community and we pray again. And all of these things help to form us. They help us to form our mind in the perspectives of Jesus. So as we are reminded of who God is as a restorer and a renewer, we pray for his kingdom of restoration and his kingdom of renewal to come. And as we pray for the kingdom of God to be made manifest here on earth, it's an invitation to us to try to understand what the kingdom of God is and how we can live like that. So what is the kingdom of God? In short, it is this. The kingdom of God is God's personal rule and reign over all things as he seeks to restore all things back to wholeness and back to himself, including all of the earth and people. See, we begin to understand this kingdom way of restoration as we read scripture. As we read the stories found in the Bible, we see the kingdom of God breaking in, starting all the way at the very beginning of scripture, moving through the whole story. God is on this restorative journey. Remember last week, Brian said the story of scripture can be summed up in this one sentence. God gets his family back. God is always moving towards bringing us back to wholeness, back to fullness. And our Psalms, in Psalm 126 that we're reading in this series, it comes out of a story of God being faithful to a people over a long period of time, of God working to restore them, working to renew their community. But it's not just in the Old Testament that we see God working and renewing and restoring, or where we learn about this idea of the kingdom of God, which is God's personal rule and reign over all things to restore them. It's also found in the New Testament, specifically in the stories of Jesus. And I love to see how the kingdom of God is breaking into the world through Jesus's healing ministry in the New Testament. What I love about these stories is Jesus, he's not just healing physical bodies. He's not just healing sicknesses, but even on another level, when Jesus heals people, he's bringing them back to belonging. Because during that time, if you were sick or you had a disability, these people were cut off from community. They were cut off from connection. And so Jesus, when he comes in and he brings his kingdom in and he heals their physical bodies and he heals their sicknesses, it's not just that, but he restores them fully. He restores them fully to belonging and he restores them fully to community. And that is ultimately what Jesus does on the cross. As Jesus would go and give his life, he sacrificed his life so that we could have new life, so that we could be restored, so that we could have a restored relationship with God. But not only that, so that we could have a restored relationship with other people. And so we pray again, so that in the context of our relationship, we are formed by who he is, and we are formed by what he cares about. And so we pray again. We begin to ask, not our kingdom to come, not our will to be done, but God, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done, for your kingdom of holiness, of goodness, of grace, and of justice to be made here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray again that our hearts would be aligned with the heart of God and that we would have a relationship with him. We pray so that our minds, that we would begin to ask for kingdom impact in our world, not just for whatever we want to see. And so we pray again so that we can know who God is. And we pray again so that our hearts can be aligned with the heart of God. And the third reason that we pray again is we pray again so that we can be moved towards action. It's like we said, the people of God who are returning from exile are amazed at who God is. They are aligned with God's heart for restoration, remembering the things that God has done for them in the past. But they also understood that they would need God's help as they rebuild and they restore their community. They understood that as they're praying, asking God to move, asking God to work, that they would be a part of the answer to the very prayers that they had been praying. And so we pray again. We pray again for our families. We pray again for our relationships. We pray again for our communities and our cities. We pray that God would work. We pray that God would move. We pray that miraculous things would happen. But we also pray with a willingness. A willingness to participate, a willingness to step in. We pray, God, would you heal? God, would you restore? And God, would you use me? We pray with open hands and expectant hearts that God will invite us to step in, that God will invite us to participate. We pray again because we serve a God who is active and invites us to be active participants in his restorative work in the world. Look, we are not supposed to be followers of Jesus who, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of crisis, we are just content sending up thoughts and prayers. We are to be followers of Jesus whose prayer life is closely linked to a life of active faith in our world and in our circumstances. So pray again to be restored. Pray again to be renewed. Pray again to be strengthened. And not just strengthened so that you can do nothing. Not just strengthened so that you can be content and comfortable and have your own personal peace, but strengthened so that you can move. Strengthened so that you can join God in the work that he's already doing. God is already doing this work. His invitation to us is to join him. One author says it this way. He says, if a hungry person comes to us, and we pray for them, but are unwilling to feed them ourselves, we are not living a prayer-shaped life. We are using prayer to dodge discipleship. And that's not what prayer is intended for. Prayer is intended to shape the way that we live. It's intended to be active. It's intended to move us. We live in a time of deep division where our world is plagued with violence and fear and tragedy. And if we only pray for that division to cease but do nothing to stop it ourselves, our prayers are only halfway finished. And I don't want us to have half-finished prayers. Think about the stories in Scripture. When Jesus encounters his disciples, he doesn't just hang out with them. He doesn't just like teach them as they're sitting around a table. No, he says, come and follow me. It's active. When Jesus would go and leave his disciples, his last instructions to them is to go and make more disciples. It's active. And even all the way back in the Old Testament, when God calls great leaders like Moses to do a liberating work and free an entire people group, he tells him, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. It's active. So much of Scripture is full of people crying out to God, people asking God to move, people asking God to work, and God responding with an invitation to join him in that work. To come and follow, to go and tell, to go and make. Even think about the Lord's Prayer that we have been looking at today. Let's read it one more time. It's found in Matthew 6. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven our debtors or those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It says, forgive us as we have been forgiven. And as we forgive others, it implies an active role. It implies our participation. We're not simply forgiven. We're not just restored. We're not just renewed. We are forgiven so that we can go and forgive. We are restored and we are renewed so that we can join God in his work of restoration and in his work of renewal. Our faith is not of a people who just sit on the sidelines, but we are a part of a deep and rich faith history of people who got involved, people who said yes to God, not just in a prayer of standing still, but in a prayer of motion that said yes, God, and got up on their feet and got to work. They trusted God and they sought his will and they did what he asked them to do. And so pray again and again and again and again that your eyes would be opened to understanding who God is. Pray that your heart would be aligned with the heart of God so that when you are praying about the things that God cares about. Pray that you would be strengthened, not just for your own comfort, but that you would be strengthened so that you could, by God's power, be an active participant in the world that he has created and in the world that he is trying to renew. And you do this not by your might and not by your will, but you do this by the power of God living in you, by his Holy Spirit living in you and asking God, God, what would you have me do? So remember at the start of the message when I said, think about an area in your life that needs restoring. I want to invite you to think about that again. What's an area in your life that you need to see Jesus doing a restorative work? What part of our world is weighing heavy on your heart today? I invite you to pray about that again. Begin to pray again that God would remind you of who he is in the midst of that circumstance. that you would be reminded that there is nothing and there is no one so far gone, that you would be reminded that God is a God who works to restore and works to renew, that you would be reminded that God cares and that God has not forgotten about that thing that you stopped praying about, that God desires to be close and to be near. And so would you pray again, but also pray again to have your heart aligned with the heart of God, that you might not have your faith activated to just do nothing, but that you would have a faith that is active, that you would be one who helps restore those who are discouraged, who helps restore those who are alienated from community. Pray that God might use you to restore friendships, to restore your family. Pray asking God that God might use you to restore things that are unjust and off with our world. Pray and seek God. Seek God's heart and then step in where you feel him leading you. And so maybe you're here today and you're like, that all sounds great. I want to be moved. I want my heart to be aligned with the heart of God. All that sounds awesome, Megan. But how do I do that? Like practically, what does that look like? And I have some suggestions for you today. Some of you are just starting to pray. Maybe you've never prayed before. And so for you, that practical step is just start. Just start praying for the first time. Knowing that God is someone who cares about you, knowing that God is someone who cares about our world, that he is close and that he is near and that he wants to get involved. And so just start by having a conversation with him about what's going on in your life, about the things that are hurting you or confusing or the things that are going great. Start there. For some of you, you feel like my prayer life, it's kind of stalled out. Like you had a routine and it's just, you're kind of feeling stuck. You've got your list, you've got this, you got that, but you're kind of like, ah. I would encourage you to go to the Psalms. The Psalms are prayers found in Scripture, and some are prayers of joy, some are prayers of sadness, some are prayers of anger, but I encourage you to go to the Psalms and pray the prayers found in Scripture. Use those prayers as kind of your guide to allow your life of prayer to begin to be shaped by God's kingdom. Some of you, you're like, I'm great. My prayer life is good. I am constantly talking to God. And so for you, I say, keep praying. Keep praying. But I also want to challenge you. Is your prayer life just you talking at God? Or are you stopping to listen? And if you're not, I encourage you, just slow down a little bit. Create some space to pause and to listen to what he might be wanting to say to you. And you know, as we all seek to integrate a life of faith with action, ask yourself, where do I need to get involved? Where do I need to join God in the work that he's doing? Maybe for you, it's looking at our local and global initiatives page and just seeing the organizations that we partner with that help the marginalized in our cities and the marginalized in our world. And maybe for you, it's making that commitment to go and to serve with them. Or maybe for you today, it's just looking at the Lord's Prayer again and going back to that forgiveness piece because there's somebody that you need to forgive. Ask yourself this week, as you begin to know God, as you begin to have your heart aligned with his kingdom way of living, I want you to ask yourself, where is God inviting me to join him in his restorative work? Because here's the deal. God has been on a work of restoration since the beginning. The train is a-going. God is just saying, hey, would you join me today?